Welcome to the Gum Guru Podcast with Dr. Macon Singletary. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, as always, with Dr. Singletary. How are you doing today?
Oh, better than I deserve. We're blessed by the best.
Blessed by the best. That's absolutely right. And today we are talking about fluoride. And today's title is Fluoride or No Fluoride. That is the question. You know, is it a villain? Is it a superhero? Let's dig into fluoride because, you know, this seems to be an area where a lot of folks kind of have an opinion one way or the other on fluoride, and which is the right one.
Well, you're right, Jason. It's fluoride has been around a long time. And if there were issues with it, we would see more problems, but it is ubiquitous. It's one part per million in ocean water. So it's there. But the CDC says there's no evidence or convincing evidence linking fluoride to any adverse health effect on systemic disorders or whatever. So if the CDC is saying there's no correlation, that's a good thing. But we all have our own personal opinions and hear things about fluoride. And so we can dive into a little bit of that.
Yeah, let's dive into it. I mean, we've kind of covered a little bit of the basics, but can you just talk about exactly what fluoride is and why this has become something that, you know, is basically in our water supply and the reasoning behind that?
Yeah. So fluoride is a mineral that you what happens when you have a community fluoridated water, which is one part per million, and that's been for years. In the 1960s, there were studies done in the Northeast, and what they showed was that fluoridated city water or water supplies, there was less recurrent decay or caries in the dental population, and that really saves people money. There is a genetic predetermination to have soft teeth, just as there's a genetic predetermination to periodontal disease. But the one thing that causes that is bacteria. But the fluoride, what it does is it gets incorporated into the enamel, into the hydroxyl apatite structure, mineral matrix of the tooth. So a young person, infants, if they have fluoride in the water, they'll ingest it with their, you know, if they have a formula with milk. If they're on well water, fluoride tablets and the appropriate concentration. So fluoride itself is not, and done in the right formula or concentration, is not a problem. Concentrated fluoride, say like in Texas, they have in the groundwater a high concentration of it. It can cause some dental fluorosis or brown or white patches on the teeth, but the teeth are hard as rocks. And you know, studies, I mean, I don't know. People may say individuals from Texas have issues to begin with. I don't know, but you know, health wise, there's no nothing been correlated with it. So they're basically four or five sources of fluoride. Water, when the community decides to put it into the drinking water. In the Northeast, it's been there a long time, and there's a community in the Northeast that really wants fluoride in the water, and they're actually suing the city government to put it in the water, whereas on the West Coast, they want to take it out of the city water. So so that's the controversy. But you can find it in the community water, toothpaste, mouthwash, and tablets. And as I said, it's done correctly. It's not a, it shouldn't be an issue. Individuals like prescription fluoride toothpaste for people who've had head and neck cancer, they have no salivary flow, so the recurrent decay rate goes up. And so high concentration fluoride toothpaste, fluoride paste in trays, helps them, you know, keep their teeth. Yes, if an individual, an infant from 0 to 2, grabs a tube of this toothpaste and swallows it, you drink milk and it chelates it. So higher concentrations, is a prescription formula, but it's, you don't swallow it, you spit it out, but it does have benefit.
Gotcha. So, you know, what changed for us to have this sort of negative connotation towards fluoride? I mean, it's not everyone that has this, but on a personal level, I have noticed some people, and maybe it's just a small percentage who's very vocal, but there are some folks who just don't want anything to do with fluoride.
I'm not sure. It's like any medication that you take. If you look at the side effects, you probably would never take anything. The fact is, it's been around a long time. If there really was going to be a significant issue with it, we would see it. And the American Dental Association would make sure that it would be appropriate or take it off the market or have recommended. And that's not the case. But I can understand, we're minimalist. We want to decrease our exposure to additives. And I don't have a problem with that. If somebody comes in and says, I don't want to do fluoride, and first of all, I ask why, and it may be a personal reason, or because I want to know facts. I don't want hearsay or Brother John had to mention he had fluoride all of his life, and I don't know, but I do like to know that. But there are alternatives. The deal with fluoride, though, it does save people money. I mean, it helps prevent recurrent decay. And when it's in the city water, studies have shown that the teeth are harder and there's less caries or decay rate. And in the long run, that helps people be able to chew, eat the food, and masticate appropriately. There are alternatives. Xylitol is one of them. It's a sugar substitute, sugar alcohol, that affects the cell wall of the bacteria that causes decay. There's hydroxylapatite toothpaste, or Nana had hydroxylapatite in toothpaste that will absorb into the enamel. Fluoride itself topically does the same thing. I mean, for adults, it's all topical. Once the tooth is developed, the adult tooth, the systemic aspect goes away. I mean, the tooth is done. But it's topical, and so toothpaste is one way, rinses another, topically, and as well as the other products like xylitol or hydroxylapatite or potassium nitrate. Products will absorb into the enamel of the tooth or dentin, and help harden it and help with sensitivity.
Is our primary use of fluoride in the water supply through when we brush our teeth, or is there a chance that this is filtered out? Like, let's say you've got your refrigerator hooked up to a water line, and then you get water out of your refrigerator. A lot of these new refrigerators have filters in them. Is the fluoride making it through the filter?
I don't think so. I think it's been filtered out.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, unless you're just coming straight from the tap and brushing your teeth, that's really the only exposure that you're getting.
Yeah, right? Topically, yeah. Well, if you're in the city, if you're in the county, we're on well water, so we don't have that concentration of one part per million. And it depends, if it's in the natural groundwater, you may have it, like I said, in Texas, it's a high concentration of it, and their decay rate is low.
So is there a point, or do we reach a certain age where, fluoride is less impactful for us?
Well, as far as the ingesting it, yes. I mean, from the primary teeth are being developed, from 0 to 2 to 4 years of age. And then at 6 months, you get your first set of teeth. And then by 2, they're done, at least the primary teeth. The adult teeth, permanent teeth, are being developed on up to about 12 to 14 years of age. And your wisdom teeth are the last ones to develop. So generally, after the age of 12 to 14, the effect of systemic fluoride goes down. And if there's a concern of, first of all, if you're well water, test and see what your fluoride content is. As I mentioned, high concentration fluoride ingested can cause fluorosis and can affect, and it gets into bones. It gets any bone structure, dentin, enamel, and skeletal system. So fluorosis is a factor, and so you want to know. But after 14 years of age, the effect of it is really topical. And yes, if you have concerns, and you really, first of all, make sure you know, that your concentration of water is one part per million, which city water is. You know, toothpaste that you use, any ADA toothpaste has the appropriate amount of fluoride. You brush with it and spit it out. Adults, it's not going to be a factor. Even the ADA approved toothpaste, if a young person brushes their teeth, it's not going to be a problem if they inadvertently swallow it. But after, you know, 14 years of age, if a person has concerns, you know, then, you know, they could filter their water and they can do alternatives, toothpaste or rinses that will help prevent recurrent decay or slow down recurrent decay.
Well, excellent. And, you know, we always, before we head out, we always have an action step for our loyal listeners. What is our action step when it comes to fluoride?
Well, if you do have concerns, find out what your concentration of your water is. And one part per million is the standard. And just make sure that if you have young people around and you have been given a prescription fluoride toothpaste as an adult because of sensitivity, or you have a high recurrent decay rate, or have had head and neck cancer, just make sure that infants don't get a hold of that too. But it's a prescription item. Adults, it won't be a problem. You brush and spit it out. If you do swallow it, adults, it shouldn't be an issue, particularly if you're just using it once or twice a day. You should be brushing four times a day, but you know, with the toothpaste that's been prescribed.
That's great advice, and that's something that we can easily do if we have those concerns, and we can make the necessary adjustments after that as well. That's going to do it for us on this episode of The Gum Guru. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you would like to continue to listen, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to The Gum Guru, and you can catch out all the updates. They'll come straight and directly to you. On behalf of Dr. Macon Singletary, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to The Gum Guru.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy, or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at northraleighperio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact@northraleighperio.com.